Rainbow and in Green Valley on Southeastern Avenue.
Miss a show? Check out lvsportsnetwork.com for everything ESPN Las Vegas. 1100 AM and 100.9 FM. KWWN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Four o'clock hours here. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. Big game in town tonight. Caitlin Clark is here to take on the Las Vegas Aces. Hot ticket, T-Mobile instead of the MUA. And, get in prices holding steady. About 80, 79 bucks to get in upstairs. So, it's encouraging. This is good for the WNBA, right? Monster crowds in what? D.C., Atlanta did north of 18,000. There's going to be some other bigger arenas, as they move the games to accommodate more fans. And in this case, the Aces and the Fever are going to be in the big building here in town. Jared's running the show in for Griffin. Let's get to the Big Four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
After all that yelling and hyperventilating, getting worked up, let's talk about some condiments. I'm very passionate about this too, though, so there may be some hyperventilating here. You did see that Heinz is going like all in on sauces.
Yeah.
They're going to have 14 different sauces.
It's a sore subject.
Here we go. Maybe I was wrong. Sauces are important to me. And I don't like getting a bad sauce and ruining something, and I'm more of a dipper. But I will tell you, I bought a sauce from a retail giant, and the claim was by people that this chicken sauce was about as close to cane sauce as you can get. Tried it. I'm like, no. It's not advertised that way. It's like chicken dipping sauce. But yeah. I was disappointed by the masses out there. Probably some moron on TikTok convinced me. And I'm a moron for being convinced.
I tried it. It's fine. It's not quite the same. I think you need to put it in those little...
Is that what it is?
Little plastic container things.
Yeah, you know that I am such a dipper, I have the metal ones.
Oh, okay.
I have like a dozen of the metal ones. Hmm. They're always needed to be clean. We're a big dipping family.
And you put the sauce in there and it still wasn't the same?
Nah.
Get the plastic ones. I think plastic adds to it.
Nothing will match, as I've told the story before... Lotus Broadcasting is very interesting. We don't do it much anymore, which is probably not a good sign. They used to have big meals brought in by clients, and Cane's came in one time, and they dropped off like 4 chafing dishes of fingers, and we started at 3 o'clock. It came in at like 3:06. We're like, we got to do the first couple of blocks of the show. We walk out at like 3:30. All the chafing dishes were empty.
Yeah,
that was pizza where people were coming back to the building.
Yeah, people.
It was Friday at like 3:45. Yeah. We pull up. There's 6 cars here. Summer Fridays are pretty empty, and we knew people who came back in the building. But anyway, with the Canes, they dropped.
Well,
there off.
Was people calling other people that were home. They were like, "Hey, I know you left an hour ago, but they just brought in some great pizza.
Yep,
come back and get it." Yep. And so they had brought it to us to try to talk about on the show. Yep. And we never got it.
You know what's funny? It is sad. Subsequently, that pizza place, because we didn't get to have the pizza and promote it, went out of business.
Yep. Could have been all
I'm not going to tell you where it is, but the space is now a Lindo. The only reason I know that is we know someone who lives in a hotel, so I see his pictures all the time. But anyway, long story short, the sauce, I got so pissed off that there were no freaking tenders left that all that were left were... like 22-ounce cups for soda of cane sauce. And I just drank cane sauce on the air.
Well, it's all that.
It's good.
It's still good.
It was good. It was frustrating, though.
Would you have drank the mass-produced store one?
No, I don't like it so far.
All right. Well, yeah. That's fair. I will say the tremendous other fast food chicken place makes their sauce in, squeeze bottles.
Yeah, I buy that all the time.
And it's good.
Yeah. Got to get the right price, though. Very price conscious in this new era. But by the way, let me just do it now. Omaha! Silver Cadillac! Big Four's out.
Yeah.
We just blew it out. Every once in a while, you have to make the executive decision. The Big Four ain't going to happen.
Just all sauce?
Sauce time. Well, there's too much to get to here. And we love sauces. Okay, so you said there's an issue?
Well, yeah.
With the Heinz list or just in general?
The Heinz one, because some of my friends, we like to get together every week, and one of the things we've been doing lately is trying some very, very weird things that are on the market.
Okay.
There's a plan at some point to make content for social media.
So Steve Kim hangs with Michael Thompson, gets us good information. You hang, and you're doing what?
Last week we tried, I think, the cheeseburger Doritos.
Interesting.
Yeah, they weren't
good.
good
thing I don't know where it's at, but whatever.
Yeah. So we've just tried different things. So we all week we're just changing ideas on social media, and we were like, oh, obsessed. Combine all 14 sauce.
Oh,
let's go. Let's go. Let's get this thing. It's all 14.
I never looked up the term. I saw that as part of the story. Obsessed.
Yeah. And it's all 14 Heinz sauces that they make.
Wow.
All combined into one bottle for one super sauce.
Stop.
And we're like, let's go. Who's picking it up? It's only available in the UK.
Well, that's sad for you.
Why do they get this?
How many people are in the group?
Four.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it costs you a couple of bucks, but why not get all 14?
And they just do it ourselves?
Yeah, do it yourself. You're going to have a lot of sauce. You're going to have a lot of sauce. If it's no good,
we'll do that.
You got some trouble.
I feel like there's a secret formula to combine like different parts of different sauces, though. I don't think you just combine all the same amount of each one.
We'll do the free pop for them since we mentioned them like five times. Burger sauce, garlic sauce, aioli? How do you like to say it?
Aioli? Aioli?
I think it's asking you. Smoky baconaise, sweet chili, chip sauce, clearly UK-ish, saucy sauce, mayo racha, mayo, does that say mayo must?
Yeah, it's mayonnaise and mustard combined.
Oh, I was thinking of that kind of must. Yeah. Truffle mayo, garlic and caramelized onion mayo, curry, ketchup, pickle ketchup, smoky bacon ketchup. Okay.
14 sauces all in one.
I'm in on like 9.
Well, it's all or nothing.
Well, no, it's not. I'm a consumer. I can buy.
No, I'm saying.
For
the upsauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get. It's all of them. So you got to try the whole thing. I mean, I feel like it can't be bad.
When will you guys do this?
Well, never. We're not going to the UK.
Did you learn about the. What was it? A Dorito burger? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Just simple advertising, or did you find out on the
internet? No. We'll just take turns going to the store and like finding weird things.
Okay.
Just bringing them
I watch a guy on TikTok, and I'm sure a lot of people know him. He's always picking up like a half gallon of like lemonade or some sort of drink, and then he's like vodka and this, and it's, you know, because back in the day, what'd you guys make? The Force?
Yeah, the Force.
What was the Force?
It had like 8 cans of frozen lemonade, 8 Red Bulls. There was some juice, I think orange juice.
Right.
And then a bottle of 151 Everclear.
Right.
Vodka, and then some other alcohol.
But you guys would make it in a cooler, right?
Like one of the 5-gallon, like right. The orange one. Yeah, and then you just, you know, set it up and use the spout. You just walk up with your cup and...
Back in the day when you used to be a little more reckless.
Sure.
Was the Force what you had... You had like a gallon jug of something you brought out for a New Year's. Was that the Force?
Yeah, Force was there. Oh, no.
What'd you do there?
No, just, that was just like a vodka. That was just Gatorade and vodka.
Oh, just. Okay. Yeah. But it was at least. Did you have multiple gallons?
No. No, it was a one. I think a. No, it was a 2-liter.
All right.
Yeah.
So, long story short, for 4th of July, we watched this guy. I think he's Tim the Tank. And he makes these drinks, and the SO and I were like, you know what, we're going to make that. So I don't have off Friday, so wish me luck.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I just said yesterday to her, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take it easy. I got to work the next day. Not too much drinking at the house. We'll see.
Trying to find the picture of.
Going to be a heavy guest day.
Oh, how about the Stuffed Trix cereal?
I can't. I don't think I can do it.
Why?
I told you the story before.
What?
I mean, in the end, it's a responsible upbringing. I had real sugar issues as a kid.
True.
Remember, I told you, I was too hyper, and my mother basically would not let me eat any sugary cereals. So all of you people who got all crazy and you're like, oh, the milk with all the whatever, chocolate or whatever, I never had any of that. I was a lunatic. Where's my coffee? I had some earlier. I will go full Cornholio if I get, like, even at this age, I get too worked up.
So I guess the Sour Patch Oreos also out?
Does that combo work? Definitely not doing the tricks.
It's not good.
This is stuff you tried already?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It's not good.
Okay. So I have my TV list and you have your try new stuff or weird stuff list.
Yeah. What about the creamy coconut zero sugar Dr. Pepper?
Oh. Maybe. Maybe. All right. Let's just play like a play number one. Can we pull that up in the big four? Can we have them all separated?
Number one.
Okay, after that conversation, do we go with fans are mad at Marshy, or do we go with the sexual misconduct and potential firing of Blake? I think we're going to skip that one for now. It doesn't seem to smoothly flow, right? So we'll get to Blake Anderson. It's a very sad story on many levels, and unfortunately, the details we know right now. I said we're not doing it. Why am I doing it? I'm out. You see people actually mad at Marceau?
Not at Marceau.
Oh, no. There's some fans out there.
Okay.
No, I saw at least one fan, and that's all it takes on this show, just one fan. Someone said Marshy had stated how much he wanted to be here. His kids grew up and played sports here. He then said, after the season, you know, it's a business, depends on how much the team wants him. That was the first sign it really wasn't about staying here. But if they would pay.
Yes. Correct.
But he loves Vegas! He should have taken a discount! According to said fan, I will probably infer.
Have taken a little discount.
Yeah.
And he also wanted more years.
What do you think of McCrimmon basically saying that Marceau saying yesterday that they didn't make a real offer? And McCrimmon's like, yeah, I don't agree with that. What was the offer? Are you calling Marceau a liar?
Well, my belief is that the team wanted to give him
like 3 or 4 years,
three years.
And he thought that was not a real offer.
And it was, he didn't think that was a real offer. And I'm sure McCrimmon is, like, there are things, you know, not everything's black and white. You could say, hey, that was a more than fair offer. We weren't willing to give you a ridiculous offer like this other team did,
yeah,
in Nashville. But we did give you a fair offer.
Marceau, I don't think VGK tried their best to keep me. McCrimmon responded, it couldn't be further from the truth. Marshy's a fiery guy. I would disagree with that. So now, not only is he saying that, suggesting we did try, but that Marceau is kind of speaking out of his gourd right now because he's fiery. Okay.
I guess.
I don't like how a lot of this is going down.
It's understandable.
But we talk all the time about the non-emotional Golden Knights. I feel like it got emotional on their side yesterday with a couple of things that were said. I thought this was all like even keel. They're the adults. You know, be Belichickian. Oh, not pleased.
Well, I think
I can see where fans could be.
Even if you make,
if they're irrational about losing players, you were going to lose players. But some of this stuff, I don't think is a great look.
But there's differences between handling things in a very Belichickian, it's all business, and taking the criticism for it and not wanting to and saying, hey, this is business. We're not talking about this. We just made the decision and moved on.
Back to Cofield and Company.
Days like this are tough for fans, and they're not easy for like the fans think they know our players. I know our players better than our fans do.
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was just mentioning, I thought incredibly clunky day with a couple of things Kelly McCrimmon said, the GM of VGK. In about 5 minutes, we've had a lot of conversation about Dave Kokin, who's not doing real well health-wise, and we're going to do that with Kevin Ioli. But I wanted to, on the front end, talk a little hockey and VGK with Kevin. Kevin, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Steve. How are you doing, pal?
I'm good. Adam Hill is here. And, you know, we just started getting into the Vegas Golden Knights. And, you know, we can address some of the moves they made in a couple of minutes. You know, you lose players. I didn't like McCrimmon going after fans. But I got to tell you, the more I read about it, I'm still disturbed by the draft pick at 19 of Connolly.
Yeah.
And I didn't like yesterday that Kelly McCrimmon basically said, like, I'm tired of talking about it. We're not. This is a really important topic.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I told Adam at the UFC fight the other night, I said, you know, I have to reconsider my fandom of this team based on that pick. And, you know, and also just, you know, they make it very hard, I think, to be a fan of the Golden Knights. You know, McCrimmon and McPhee are unbelievably arrogant. Unbelievably arrogant. And the way they treat the media is basically the way they're treating the fans. And from what I see, they treat the media poorly. You know, I don't cover them, but just what I see from being around. And this kid, you know, I mean, there's a reason why other teams did not draft this kid. And I get that, you know, he made a mistake and, you know, there are certain things, you know, the bullying and the slew-footing and even the peeing in the equipment bag, you know, that is one thing. But when you get into the racist things and he made the swastika reference, posted a photo, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old, you know that they slaughtered 6 million people, a whole race of people. You know that, and that's nothing to joke about. And there are certain things that I don't think you can overcome, and to me, that's one of them. And so when I saw that they drafted this kid, it made me really think, do I really want to be a fan and supporter of this team anymore?
Listen, can Trevor Connelly get past this? Yes. Could he be believable when you talk to him? That's fine. But the organization that just took him the day after, whatever, 2 days after you take him, you can't go out there and go, I'm done answering questions. Because, I don't know, maybe someone from the Jewish community needs to show up at the next media availability and go, we're not done with it. So you're going to at least, you know, calm us down a little bit about this because these optics are terrible. That attitude on an issue this important, like we're just done talking about it. Well, we're not.
Yeah, I mean, and just look at some of the other situations that happened. I think his name was Mitchell Miller with the Coyotes when you know he was the bully and had some racist incidents, and they renounced their rights to him. Mm-hmm. And there have been other situations. Logan Mailloux with the Canadiens a couple of years ago. You know, and this kid seems to have skated. Now, I don't profess to know all the, you know, Adam would know all the ins and outs of what he has done and what he has gone through better than I do. But as a fan, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, do I want this kind of guy representing my team? Especially after they got a guy who represented the team in the absolute best way possible for 7+ years and wanted to stay here and they let walk. And I understand salary cap and everything else, and in a vacuum, I would not be upset that they lost Marchessault. But on 2 days after they draft this kid who's posting swastikas and using the N-word and peeing in people's equipment bags, then they turn around and they let Jonathan Marchessault walk. To me, that, like, you know, come on.
So as you mentioned, you said the other night you might be done. You've had a couple of days. Where do you stand on your fandom?
You know, it's hard, Adam. You know, I'm still, like, you get invested in watching the product on the ice. And, you know, I've been a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins since the franchise existed. I went to the first home game in history, and I remain, even when the Golden Knights came in, I remained a Penguins fan. And it's not easy just to walk away from it, but... You know, like I saw McCrimmon's press conference, and you know that again made me want to say, mm-hmm. "Boy, I don't want to you know root for this guy." And you know they've done a good job in terms of you know making you want to be a fan by the presentation of the games and the fact that they win. And I think that's the number one thing why people like. But by the same token, boy, their attitude and they think that they're unaccountable. That is not the case. And you know, so I haven't made up my mind yet, but I'm certainly kicking that around. And I want to see if you know maybe the NHL will step in here at some point and give them a little bit of advice.
These are not easy times for the radio community, the boxing community, the gambling community. Those folks who are close to Dave Koken, who posted a message that he wasn't in great health. He did that about 10 days ago, and I know you've been friends with Dave for a long time. So I guess, first off, your thoughts on you know what he announced and the kind of guy that you know Dave to be.
Yeah, I've known Dave, over 30 years now, and we've spent a lot of time together, eating, golfing, watching sports, at fights. And, I was just devastated when I saw his post and what he was going through. But, Dave is one of the old school Vegas guys that, he's hard not to like. And the fact that, he said in his post, and I think this is something, they told him a year ago that he probably had days, weeks, or just a couple of months, and he's still here a year now. That talks about Dave's spirit. And, I think of so many fights that we were at together. We were at one fight that was one of the best fights. I want to say it was like 2001, 2002. Barrera and Leyva, it wasn't Marco Antonio Barrera, it was a guy named Miguel Barrera. It was a 105-pound championship fight. It was held at the Orleans. And we're sitting there, and the guy gets a right hand, and the next thing you know, something comes flying through the air, and it hits Dave's hand and then lands on my laptop. And one of the guys' teeth got knocked out, and there's the tooth sitting on the end of my laptop. So Dave and I got a big kick out of that. And then a little sadder thing, but he and I were sitting up against the ring apron at the Orleans, and a fighter died, and the fighter got knocked through the ropes. And Dave and I saved him from hitting the floor. As he was coming to fall on top of us, we stuck our hands up, and we kept him from hitting the floor. We pushed him kind of back underneath the ropes. He takes the 10 count right in front of us. And then when he left the ring, he lost the fight, obviously. Joe Martinez, the ring announcer, who does some UFC fights now, Martinez said, "Hey, how about a hand for Martin Sanchez, who fought bravely?" And Martin blows kisses to the crowd. And then he looks at Dave and I, because we had saved him from hitting the floor, and he points at us and gives us a thumbs up. And we left and went out and had a pizza over at Metro Pizza that night. And little did we know that once Martin got in the locker room that he had a bleed on the brain and, he kind of collapsed in his locker room and he died in surgery later that night. And, that was something for both Dave and I that was really an emotional thing. And I just remember us bonding over that because of how difficult that was for us. But Dave, one of the great characters and one of the great people, just an always upbeat, fun guy. And you never had to wonder where you stood with Dave.
No. And that's why I respect Dave so much as a radio guy, because, it's not easy. We were just talking about, media people dealing with different subjects out there. And it's not easy, especially if it's your moneymaker, to go at some of the subjects you cover. And I just, by the time I was doing shows with Dave starting in 2007 to like 2011, boxing really got him frustrated. And I don't know if he cost himself money by speaking out, but he spoke out. He was going to say the right thing or how he felt without concerns about, potentially costing themselves opportunities.
Yeah, no, and I agree. I mean, and Dave was that way on social issues, on everything, right? He said what he thought and he did what he thought was the right thing. Whether you agreed with his stance or not, yeah. He would say what he thought. And I thought, we did the boxing show, and I always thought the way he handled callers, whether it was on the boxing show or with you or with other people. I think the first time I met Dave was on the Stardust line with Lee Pete so many years ago. And, he would let people talk and he would let people, express opinions that were different than his own. But you could always see he would be getting frustrated when they weren't using facts. Yeah. And then he would just lose it. And it was funny when you would see him get upset at the callers and let them have it. And, I'm glad, Steve, that you're doing this, because Dave can hear this and know how much he's respected, know how much he's loved, how much he's admired. We do this for people when they pass. And, they don't get to understand how much people cared about him. And I'm glad that Dave gets to know, while he's still with us and he's able to understand, that we all love him and care for him and think the world of him.
We got a minute left, cut out.
Yeah, you mentioned playing golf with him. How was he on the golf course? I can't even imagine.
Okay, so let me just say this. My mother always told me, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything. So let's go on to the next topic.
I don't mean as a golfer, though. I mean, the stories you get through 18 holes have to be great.
Yeah,
no. Obviously, Adam, you're out there playing with Dave, and you're cracking up. I mean, and I always think our old friend Jack Welch, who used to call Dave the thermometer, He said if Dave was so skinny, if he drank tomato juice, he'd look like a thermometer. And so we used to, when we were on the golf course, we used to call him Thermo. So, you know, for thermometer, and of course, all his fantasy sports teams became known as the Thermometers.
Kevin, I appreciate a couple minutes. Thank you so much. And I'm sure Dave appreciates it. And everyone out there, again, you can go at Dave Koken on Twitter, look him up on Facebook. I know he's seen all these messages. He's seen these videos. It's really important. So thank you.
See you guys. Talk to you soon.
There he is. Kevin Ioli. We got a lot more coming up, second half of the show. I do want to say, building on that point about Dave, you know, saying what he needed to say when he felt he needed to say it, not being afraid, maybe he'd be getting shut out of boxing money. The more I thought about it, Adam, the column you wrote with a headline calling a local organization arrogant, that's a good job, because that's not easy to do when you got to face these people. But I know you do that all the time, and you know you get it from people. So, but that's really important, and you know I get worked up over it. I just listen. All we're gonna, we just want some answers. That's all we want. If a kid's got a disturbing history, and especially if it's racial, and listen, the Nazi stuff, man. I'm disturbed by the fact that, like, hey, let's move on. Like, no. We need some questions answered. It's an important topic.
Back to Cofield and Company.
We can't look anywhere to blame except for ourselves, us players. You know, at the end of the day, we didn't do enough, and we have to hold ourselves accountable for that.
You believe that you still are the right voice, the right person with this group to push it forward ahead of the 26th World Cup and into the 26th World Cup?
Yes.
On ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Greg, manager of the U.S. side. One word answer there, yes, and then look the other direction. Keeper Matt Turner was the voice you heard coming in, who does not want to fan the flames. That was right after the game. And Adam said earlier, it's not easy to explain what just happened to the Americans, but it probably, am I stating this correct? It probably is time for a change with Berhalter.
Yeah, I think there's, I wish people were more nuanced in how they talked about it and what happened and what went on in the tournament and throughout. But despite all those things and all those factors of what went into why they're not moving on, it's probably time to move on. But again, in all coaching changes, you better have somebody ready to go. So you better have somebody that you think can take you to the next level. There's also, I feel like there's not a national team manager in the world that people like. I mean, England is very likely to advance to the final of Euro right now, and the entire country wants him fired. Want Gareth Southgate out. Yeah. It's wild.
Do me a favor, Jared. This is a sound from the beginning of the show. Can you find me Lawless 2? Because we didn't get to the bite here with Lawless. Just talking about the coaching side of things, and he kind of sounds like Adam, like he understands there's a lot of factors that go into it, but...
And I'm sure if Greg Berhalter was here, he would say, oh, but you don't see what's happening inside. I don't give a crap what is happening inside. I don't care about the dynamic. I don't care how much your players love you. I don't care how kumbaya it is. All I care about is I see a U.S. men's national team that is better than before.
Well, you do.
I think a lot of people see the results and are like, they still suck.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I don't think they ever sucked. But, like, they're not seeing results. And we are – is it even fair to say we're a results-driven country? I think all countries are results-driven in the end.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess there's more advanced soccer countries out there, but I don't know that they have, like, a ton of advanced minds. I mean, you just mentioned it. England succeeding in results, and people around that club are like, we hate this.
Yeah, get them out.
So it's like,
they have a Euro quarterfinal coming up, and I think people would be thrilled if they replaced managers before the game.
Yeah, but in the end, you do have to produce some results. I know you are. Sure. Hey, it's a small sample.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, there are little things in each game that you could point to. Maybe they got screwed. Maybe they screwed themselves.
They got screwed.
Okay,
it's not a maybe. They got screwed. It was terrible officiating. Again, like what? How much does that factor into decisions made going forward?
Do you like Berhalter's style?
It's not great.
What's not great about it?
Just they don't. I feel like a lot of the talent isn't used properly in terms of getting them on the field, getting them forward, getting them into attacking positions. It's a lot of, you know, possession in the midfield. Like, it, there's a lot that I just don't like about how they play. But again, part of it is, and this is, you can criticize a manager for this too, but a lot of it is, hey, get the ball up to Flo, he will score. First two games he did. Got hurt yesterday.
Who's Flo?
Now what? Florin Bagalin, who is just an unbelievable striker. I mean, he's fantastic. Came in struggling a little bit, but scored back-to-back games and likely could have done it again yesterday. But got hurt early in the game. So if you're all driven to getting the ball to one guy to try to score your goals and then he has to leave the game, okay, now you got to figure out something else. And they had a hard time doing that yesterday. You saw after he left the match yesterday, they went from absolute domination. I mean, they destroyed one of the better teams in the world, Uruguay. They destroyed him for 25 minutes. He gets hurt, fall apart.
All right, it's time to get serious. We got multiple spots coming up. The hot dog eating contest is a contest. It is on the 4th, just a couple days away. We're going to bring in one of the contestants, and up next, we'll break down the odds. All the pressure's on.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Betting. Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Funny, I was reading a comment from an Edmonton fan who was saying that the Golden Knights should not be a top five team for the Stanley Cup next year. I mean, look at all they lost. Kings are dead in the water. Edmonton's in great shape. Still the rest of free agency to get through. Trades can be made. And we know Vegas books are not going to drop the Golden Knights too low, right? You still have to take into account what people may bet and why they bet it. Sam Paniadovich is in. He knows that. And we can talk NBA here in just a couple of minutes. Sam, how are you, buddy?
I just went into the Wayback Machine and thought about when I think it was Stations opened up the Vegas Golden Knights at 500-1 the first year, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, that won't happen again. Well, expansion.
They went all the way to the final and lost.
Expansion doesn't happen very often, and that situation doesn't happen.
Those tickets still paid zero.
Yeah. Yeah. Collectors items.
No, that's true.
Were there? Could you, I mean, I guess you could hedge back then. There's at least a couple services where you can sell your tickets. Did they exist back then? They probably did, right? I hope some people
laid
off.
Prop Swap was up. I don't know if it was up in Nevada. I lose track of where I am and who I was back then. That's 2018, right?
Yeah.
17-18 is the first season.
Correct.
Yeah, 500-1. I mean, you could have just bet a nice chunk of money on Washington. At that point, Washington had to be about minus 150 or minus 170 to win the series. If you had a 500 or 300 or even 100-1 ticket on the Golden Knights, you could have just bet a lot of money on Washington.
I wish I was on Uruguay last night, but I was not. That would have been a decent plus, a win of plus 195. I know you made a comment up on social media. Adam and I were just talking about the results, and you said, I guess what, on the broadcast, they said great half by the United States?
They were okay. Yeah. They were the better team. Look, Uruguay came out really sloppy. And the USA had to win the match, basically. So I expected them to come out with a vengeance and play sort of attacky. That's not a word, but, you know, Berhalter always talked about turning defense into offense. And they didn't do that in the first half. They had one shot. And I'm not talking like one shot on goal. They had one shot toward the net in the first half. That's not a great period. Or half, whatever.
Yeah, and they also, you know, have so much of their offense is based around one guy, and then that guy gets knocked out of the game, and now what do you do? Because I thought the game absolutely turned in a major way when Flo got hurt and was knocked out, and then all of a sudden the guy who scored back-to-back matches, who is by far your most offensively talented player, after he went out, they really didn't have many solutions, and I think that was a big turning point in the game because they were – you talk about a good half. They were dominant for 23, 24 minutes. He gets hurt, that goes away.
That's number 20, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was their best player in the three-game sample size, at least I thought. Now, 10, Pulisic played pretty well, but there's not enough talent. And look, it's not that I hate American soccer, but I think American soccer fans that are unrealistic really piss me off more than any group of fans. Because in the World Cup, you go back a couple years, I'm watching the USA take on Iran in a soccer match, not in a nuclear arms race, in a soccer match. and it's 0-0, like, the whole match. And I'm like, this is horrible. How are we not beating Iran? And everybody used to chirp back and say, well, wait until 24 and wait until 26. And guys, they made the round of 16 in the World Cup. They didn't qualify for the knockout stage in the Copa, which is not the World Cup. So to me, it's simple. They were on the up and they just crashed. And did they change the coach? I don't know. I don't care. Not enough good players, not enough execution. And to only have three shots on goal in a must-win soccer match, I don't want to watch that. Like, I hate to be a front runner, but it sucks watching your country lose and lose embarrassingly, kind of.
Sam Panayotovic is with us. Well, I can guarantee you this. There's an event on Thursday, and afterwards, if Patrick Bertoletti doesn't win, we're not going to analyze it by going, you know what, I thought his style was pretty good. You got to eat hot dogs. You got to get results. And for the first time in forever, Chestnut is out. We got a somewhat wide-open field. I'm fired up. Later on, we're going to talk to Nick Weary, who's nice enough to join us basically on the eve of the contest. This is, I don't know what the handle will be, but there's a lot of options to bet here. This is a fun hot dog eating contest.
As wide open, as it's been in probably 10 years.
Yes.
I think that was the last time we saw Chestnut and Kobayashi, maybe 10, 11 years ago. There's a 1-2 punch. It's Esper and James Webb. Those are the two favorites. But I got a text yesterday, and I swear
here we go.
On my life, I am not making this
here
up.
Here we go! Inside info!
My favorite bet, and I quote, is Nick Weary over 46.5.
Yeah! Mm. Yeah!
Come on! You know how sick I am.
Yep.
I immediately go to the outright market. Because I'm thinking, all right, if he's going to overshoot, if this wise guy, and there are hot dog wise guys, trust me, if a hot dog wise guy likes somebody to go over his total or her total, let's peep the odds board. So one book, I know you guys can't bet this in Nevada, but one book here in Massachusetts has Nick Weary at plus 550. There's another shop in this state dealing 16-1.
Ooh. Hello.
Which, if you do the simple math, we do that from time to time in my racket. Esper's over-under is 49.5. Weary's over-under is 46.5. So how is he 16-1?
Interesting.
It's bad bookmaking.
I would.
We got him!
I would recommend, Sam.
We got him.
Sam, I'd recommend if you're going to bet that, bet it within the next 40 minutes because there might be an interview that will really put this out there that he's going to win.
Maybe I already bet it.
There you go.
Good.
All right.
Yes, have I told you the story the one time when I was watching? This is like 5 or 6 years ago. I'm at a family party back in Chicago, and the contest is about to start. And one of my relatives, I can't remember if it was a great aunt or a great uncle, walks by and just an in passing comment goes, hot dog contest. Only people that watch this are scumbags and degenerates. And I had probably like $500 on it. You know? So I go, does that mean I'm both or how does that work?
I think both.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Yeah. They're lucky I wasn't around.
I should have straightened him or her out, honestly, but whatever.
I'd go to jail over something like that.
Yeah.
Blasphemy. Blasphemy. Yeah, so we're going to talk to Nick Weary in a little bit.
Who's laughing in the background? Who is that?
Jared. It's Jared. Yeah, it's our FM morning laughter.
I was going to say, are you doing this show in front of a studio audience?
Yes, today. Today in front of the studio. We're trying it out. Mickey Sudo is the 9-time champ. She'd have a bunch in a row, but she had a kid in the middle of the run. She's going to win. She should be able to do something north of 35. There actually are Nick Weary, Mickey Sudo combos because they're married. Do we have a number on this? I said it earlier in the day, just on my notes, at 80.5 combined hot dogs eaten.
You're close. DraftKings actually does have a market on it, 85.5.
Ooh, aggressive. Okay.
And she's a big favorite to win. I mean, minus 1,200. I saw her as high as minus 1,500. So you got to lay those numbers to win 100. I'd be stunned if she lost.
I would be as well. I would be as well. They're very good friends of the show. I feel like I would get too emotional. I felt bad. The last time I felt really bad when someone lost who was a part of the show, Adam, was Frank Trigg against Matt Hughes.
Yeah.
And that's looking back, what? How far back is that now? Like,
a long time.
I've become a cold individual. It's all about the results and if I'm winning. But that was 17 years ago. All right, NBA title board. Sixers make a big improvement, we think, with PG-13. They go from like 14-1 to 8-1. We betting them?
No, not with your money. I wouldn't do it. Embiid can't stay on the court. So I would rather than somebody bet this at the worst possible number right now, I mean, Superbook has 8-1. One of these books has 7-1 in mass. Let them get together early and feel each other out. I mean, there's a lot of talent there. And I don't know that you're ever going to get north of 10, 11, 12-1. But I think this is a team that needs to come together, and it's not going to happen right away. And look, there's a really good chance Joel Embiid between now and opening night gets hurt. He gets hurt. That's what he does. So you got to get a lot of dudes to share one basketball. PG, Embiid, Maxey. You know, they got some good players, but that's going to take time, I think, to figure out. There's no way I'm betting 8-1, though. That is the worst of the number on Philly, and I don't believe it yet because they just can't collectively do it as an organization. When's the last time they won a championship? The 1980s? With Dr. J and Moses Malone? I mean, it's been 40 years.
Dr. J went the, collect a bunch of stars route to win a title. Shame on him.
Shame on him, indeed.
Well, old joke, but I can't stand it when people forget that stars used to join up with each other to also form super teams.
Who's worse, Kevin Durant or Chris Paul at front running?
Succeeding at front running?
Tough one.
Chris Paul.
No, wanting to be on a great team, like ring chasing.
Yeah, I don't blame CP3. It's been tough. All right. So I feel like your community, we're talking to Sam Paniadovic, of course, from Fox Sports, gambling expert who joined us on Tuesdays, that football, like, we're right on the edge of, like, everyone getting in on football a couple of weeks from now. And you and I cannot wait until some of the numbers start coming out and the betting continues and people really start paying attention to Team Dion and his Buffaloes, because the more preseason prognostications that come out, I think there's a reality check here. I just saw the media. They got Big 12 Media Day here in Vegas next week. The media has them 11th in the Big 12.
I think that's a little low. And remember, I was not high on Colorado last year at all. I couldn't wait for them to play the Pac-12 schedule because they started 3-0 and everybody thought they were the greatest thing ever, and then they lost, what, 8 of their last 9 or something like that. I think if they can get offensive line play, they're going to win 6 or 7 games. I'm not saying conference title, not saying make the playoff. Don't get me wrong. Like, we're a ways away from that. But you got 2 first-round picks at 2 very important positions. If they can protect Shedeur Sanders, that's a team that could make a bowl game. And I was talking with Kenny White. I got a story coming out on Fox about this tomorrow. When Dion took over, he had them rated, power rated, at an 82. So that's 18 points below the average football team. Average team's 100. He had them at 82 last year when they brought Dion in. When the season started, he had him at a 97. And at the peak, he had him at a 105. Assuming they added more talent and are better than last year, this is a team that's probably going to be 10 points better than the average team. And an average team, Steve, wins 5 or 6 games. So if you just look at the talent they have, they're going to contend for a bowl.
Sammy, we squeeze you. We're up against it. Enjoy the hot dog eating contest. Win some money. We'll talk to you next week.
Let's go, Nick Weary!
Do it. I didn't know he was on our side. All right. Team Nick. I think Colorado starts out 0-3 and possibly 0-7. I think they lose the game coming out of the gates against North Dakota State. 8.5-point favorites. I don't think they are more talented this year. And I think people are leaning too heavily on the, hey, great quarterback, great two-way player. It's a team, man. I don't think they have the depth. I don't think they have the power. I don't think Dion really worked over the summer to get him better. But we're going to find out in a couple months, right? Let's go, Dion.